Hey guys, it's Lolly here. Real quick before we jump into today's story, we had a couple of technical difficulties. I don't know, maybe it's a full moon, Mercury's in retrograde, who knows? We are not trying something new. It was just today, so bear with us. It's still a good story and enjoy. Let's jump in. Good afternoon, good morning, Rainey, welcome.
Good evening, Lolly.
I want to start by issuing a public apology. If you are a regular listener, if you've been tuning in over the last few weeks, you're going to be thinking, all right, we are just giant dick teasers over here at Can't Handle the Grand Scandal. Because we've been harping on and on about this big special episode with our big special guest. And then you've gone onto your little podcast app and you're reading the title and you're going, WTF. And you're right. We have another hold up on that episode, guys, and I am so goddamn sorry. Our special guest is unfortunately unwell. It's flu season. It's going down and I apologize, guys. I've had to push it back.
Exactly. Like, we don't want you to listen to Here
I
Am.
I actually sound, I sounded like that a couple of weeks ago and I did an episode. Remember that? It was horrendous. Sorry about that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't want to do that to you again.
No, so we'll just have to hold off. And look, maybe next week will be the special week. But this episode is juicy.
We've decided to do something a little bit different today just because we usually tell our stories to each other and we get those reactions and it's a bit of fun. But today we thought we would tell the story together. Two hosts, one mic.
Two hosts, one story.
It is time to jump into this juicy story. We have got athleisure. We have got a lot of blood. There is a lot of brutality involved in today's crime, and it's just effed up with a capital F.
Hey, quick question. Athleisure?
Athleisure. You don't know what athleisure is?
I've never heard of athleisure. What is that?
Have you been living under a rock, Rainey? This is the type of clothing that we wear when we're just getting up to leisurely activities.
Oh, athletic leisure clothing.
Yeah, like, you know, your leggings, your comfy clothes that you head out to go and run some errands and it makes you kind of look like you're going to the gym, but you're really just going to buy some milk.
That's your lazy day clothes.
It's your lazy day clothes when you want to look like you're not lazy.
Exactly. Athleisure. Wow.
I am currently wearing some athleisure pants, guys.
I am too, actually.
So there you go. The secret's out. We've got our smart attire on top and our athleisure on the bottom. Oh, damn, she's wearing trackies. At least I'm wearing leggings.
Don't be fooled, guys.
Okay, guys, let's jump into this episode. It's going to be a lot of fun and really horrendous at the same time. We're going to go all the way back to 2011. March 11th, this is a Friday night, and we're going to go to a little town called Bethesda in Maryland, USA. Bethesda is actually a really trendy, cool little town. This particular area we're going to go to is a really high-end shopping district, and we know it's super fancy because there's an Apple store there and a Lululemon, like right next to each other. So this particular night, Friday, March 11th, was a huge day for the guys at the Apple store because this was the launch of the iPad 2. This is going back to a time where people would go and line up outside the Apple store, down the road, down the street. They've been there since 4 a.m. because they got to get their hands on the latest bit of tech. Do people still do that?
Honestly, they have a new device every 6 months, so probably not.
Probably not. I feel like the hype has potentially died down. And look, this was the iPad. It was relatively new. So, oh my gosh, the second model's come out. Super exciting. It's coming to late in the evening. We're getting to about 10 p.m. on the Friday night, and the employees are absolutely exhausted because you can imagine these guys have been run off their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the employees, she's doing a tidy up, getting ready to close. She's a little concerned because she can hear a bit of commotion coming from next door. And she sort of stops and she's trying to figure out where this noise is coming from. So she's walking to the front of the store, to the back of the store. She's actually put her ear up against the wall and she's sort of trying to figure out where is this noise coming from? What is this? And she finds it. She listens in. She can hear a lot of banging, a lot of screaming. What sounds like dragging and heavy breathing, it is disturbing. So she kind of gestures to her manager to get over here now. and he comes over and they're both ears pressed up against the wall trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. And there's a security guard. So now the three of them are sort of listening in to this commotion. We're hearing screaming. It's female voices. We can hear someone yelling, "Please talk to me," and another voice screaming. And then we hear, "God help me." This is pretty confronting. Remember, we've got a security guard, a male manager, and a female employee. They're all sort of talking to each other like, what could this be? The manager of the Apple store reassures these guys, it's just some drama. Let's just leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
So exhausted, feet are sore. These guys want to go home. So they lock up shop. They leave that drama behind and they head home. Friday night comes to a close.
Sounded like quite a bit of drama, but hey, that's all right, guys.
Just leave it, you know? Why would you call the cops?
Nah.
March 12th, 2011, Saturday morning. We've got a lovely Rachel strolling down Bethesda Row, and she is rocking a pair of Lululemons. She's got some orange sneakers on, and she's got a little latte in her hand, and she's getting ready for a busy Saturday in retail. She actually is the manager of the Lululemon store next to the Apple store. And as she heads in, she walks past a queue of losers lining up outside the Apple store waiting for their iPad too. That is so mean. I would probably line up back then, all right?
I don't think you'd line up. That's not true.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd be just going and buying one on Craigslist 6 months later.
That's right. I'm going to buy a refurbished one, all right? I'm going to save my pennies. Shut the you shut up, all right? Just because I don't go down and bloody high purchase everything that's brand new.
I don't know. What are you talking about? Hey, that is not even true.
Me and Shireen are a real rags to riches story, but I'm still in rags. She's over there blinged out. And I'm just over here with my secondhand iPhone. Bloody. So anyway, Rachel, she works in retail. I can relate. And she is ready for a busy Saturday. She goes to unlock the store and she is quite alarmed because the store hasn't been locked from the night before. She's a bit pissed because this is very irresponsible. This store is not inside a shopping mall. It is just out on the road. Come on, guys. You don't not lock your store when you leave. So she's a bit annoyed. Someone's going to be in trouble. She walks in and very quickly she realizes that something is wrong. She takes a quick look around the store and there are leggings and crop tops flying everywhere. And at first it looks like, holy shit, someone's broken and robbed the store, right? There are tables and mannequins and just shit everywhere. She begins to walk to the back of the store and to her goddamn horror, she notices blood. And this is a big hell no for Rachel. So she begins to reverse and she heads back out the store. There are a whole bunch of people lining up at the Apple store and they can clearly tell that something is wrong with Rachel. And a very lovely gentleman named Ryan, who has been waiting in the line since 5 a.m., he ditches his place in line to come and help Rachel. What a hero.
What a guy.
What a big call. I mean, you're that dedicated to your iPad too, and you're standing there going, oh, what do I do? There's a woman in distress, but I really want this iPad. He's a legend. He comes over to Rachel and she tells him, holy shit, someone's robbed the store. I can see blood. I'm not going in there. I'm too scared. So Ryan, he decides to let me take care of this. Ryan walks in. Again, leggings, crop tops everywhere. There's a broken, smashed TV. It's a big mess. He walks to the back of the store and there is blood. And as he continues to make his way to the back of the store, more and more blood appears. He heads towards the back room and that's when he sees a body on the ground laying face down in a pool of blood.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. This is fucked. He decides that he needs to obviously call the police. So he begins to head back out the store and there's actually a staff bathroom and he can hear some moaning and groaning coming from this area. And as he's retreating and leaving the store, he can see some legs kind of poking out of the bathroom. He pokes his head in and he sees another woman lying on the ground, covered in blood. She's got her arms zip tied above her head and she's making some noises. So she's clearly alive, but she's clearly been beaten. So Ryan leaves the store, calls the police, and these guys wait outside the store. And obviously, Rachel's super upset because she's so worried if this is one of the girls from the night before. They have no idea. She's not going in to have a look. It's just too horrendous. Police arrive on the scene not long after, and as they make their way in, they go to the woman at the very back of the store, and she is pronounced dead at the scene. And this woman is Jaina Murray. Now, Jaina Murray is a employee, and she was actually working the night before. So very sad, and also what the heck is going on? They make their way to the bathroom and they find another female who is actually an employee of Lululemon as well. And this is 28-year-old Brittany Norwood, covered in blood. She's been brutally attacked, but she is alive. So this is a miracle. The police cut the zip ties free and they whisk her away to the hospital. As they take her out of the store, she actually doesn't open her eyes. She must be so petrified and so scared that she just will not open her eyes. So what has happened in the Lululemon store? So this is absolutely horrifying. As somebody who has worked in retail before, to think that you could be in your place of work and someone's come in and just brutally attacked you in this way, it's just so scary because a lot of these clothing stores, it's all women.
It is. Yeah.
We've got these two women that have been brutally attacked. And who are these women and potentially why has this happened to them? Is this a freak accident? Is this a targeted attack? Was it a robbery gone wrong? So Jaina Murray is 30 years old and she is just, well, she was the most amazing woman. She is one of those beautiful, bright, bubbly people. You know, what episode was it? Episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
Mariah Wilson. So similar to Mariah Wilson. When I see Jaina Murray, she just has this bright, beautiful smile and she just exudes sunshine. She loves to travel. She's super fit, super adventurous. She's really into bungee jumping and traveling the world. I believe she's been to every continent apart from Antarctica. Super impressive.
Wow.
She's super smart. She's actually studying 2 master's degrees at a very prestigious university. And she'd been working at Lululemon for 2 years and she just loved Lululemon. At one point at university, she was doing a thesis on their ethos. Fuck, that's a mouthful. Try that at home, friends. Mark, our wonderful editor, can tidy that up. She was doing a thesis on their ethos. So Lululemon's ethos. Do you know what ethos is?
Oh, like what their moral, like their company.
Yeah, it's like their company beliefs and morals and it's
sort of, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So she loved what Lululemon was about. She was super stoked to be working there. She had a pretty high up position. She wasn't a manager, but she was definitely responsible for opening and closing and she had a key and all of that. She had big hopes and dreams. She was almost finishing her studies and she was about to move to Seattle where her boyfriend was. It's just so, so devastating. This poor girl was just at work. Again, she loved Lululemon, but this wasn't her career. This was just one of those side jobs that pays the bills. It's a bridge to the next thing in life. So it's really, really tragic. Rainey's going to tell us a little bit about Brittany.
Brittany Norwood, she was born in May 18, 1982 in Seattle. She was one of 9 children. So she had 4 brothers and 4 sisters. And her parents, they were really well respected in the community. They were very kind and generous. They looked after their children, did everything for them. They had a upholstery business, which, hey guys, I need to actually cover a couple of chairs if anybody knows someone.
Side note.
Just side note. So she graduated high school and she moved to Long Island, New York to study sociology. Mm. And she was actually really great at soccer. So she was a really well-respected soccer player. She wanted to go on and play for the US women's national team. And her parents really poured a lot of money into her hopes and dreams to do this. So yeah, just an all-round good girl, studied hard, changed her tune from her university days, and then she went on to be a trainer, and she was wanting to go work in Equinox, which, Laurel, that has a tie to you, doesn't it?
I don't know what is going on here, guys, but yes, I used to work at Equinox, and I know Brittany was interviewing to be a personal trainer at Equinox, and this gym is so beautiful. I used to work at the Hollywood one, and I've never experienced a gym quite like it. I just loved being in there. It's a bit bougie, but and a bit expensive, but it's definitely worth it. It was heaps of fun. Jaina and Brittany are fitting the mold for working at Lululemon. Super fit, gorgeous, outgoing, personable. And these two ladies were working together the Friday night before. So investigators are starting to piece together what could have happened in this horrendous attack. And luckily they have Brittany at the hospital and she's starting to piece together some information for them. So Brittany and Jaina worked the Friday night together. They were originally meant to be working with a third employee, but she called in sick. But these two superstars, they were gonna do this thing, just the two of them. They were going to manage the mad rush, the Friday night rush. And they did. They did a great job. They closed the store at 9 o'clock and then they did their closing duties. And these two ladies parted ways at 9:45. Jaina got in her car, was heading home. And Brittany was heading to the train. When Brittany got to the train or the bus, she had to get public transport. She realized she'd left her wallet in the store. So she had to contact a few other staff members to get Jaina's number because she had actually only been working at the store for about 6 weeks. She'd done a transfer from another store. So she managed to track down Jaina's number. She called Jaina and was like, oh my gosh, I've left my wallet. I have no way of getting home. I've got no money. I've got nothing. Can you please meet me back? And this was only 10 minutes after they'd left. So Jaina's like, yes, of course, that's fine. The two girls meet back at the store. Jaina just double parks out the front. They head in towards the back room. That's where she's trying to find her wallet. And Brittany says that Jaina has left the back room. And then Brittany follows her not long after. And then to their shock horror, there are two men standing in their store, a tall guy and a shorter guy, all dressed in black with ski masks on. And they proceed to brutally attack these girls. So they do end up getting separated. So Brittany doesn't really know what's happening to Jaina, but she can hear a pretty intense struggle going on. There's a lot of screaming. This is in towards the back room. Brittany is being ordered to open the tills and she's taking money out for these attackers. She's giving them cash out of the safe. What proceeded from here is pretty disturbing and graphic. So I just want to make a disclaimer. If you want to turn it down or fast forward, now is the time because I will go into a little bit of detail. Brittany has described these men as, well, throwing a lot of racial slurs her way. They proceed to sexually assault both girls. She is being beaten with a rock. She's being cut with a box cutter, so slices all over her body. It is so horrific. And then she has been zip tied and left. And the two men have obviously left. She doesn't know what has happened to Jaina, but as I mentioned earlier, she can hear a lot of the struggle and her cries for help became more and more faint until she didn't hear anything from Jaina. This is basically the account from Brittany, what has happened. So the investigators go in and they start to do a bit of an examination of the store. Detective Dimitri Reuven, who is actually on scene, has described this as the most violent scene he has ever been a part of, ever witnessed. He's never seen this much blood, and there is blood everywhere in that store. It is all up the walls, towards the back room. It's everywhere, guys. It's so horrendous. They can see bloody footprints throughout the store. So we've got a smaller footprint and what looks like quite a large male's footprint in blood that sort of walked its way all through the store. And from Brittany's accounts, she's described these attackers as a very tall man and then a shorter man. So it does kind of line up with the footprints that they're seeing in store. The police go on to review CCTV footage, and the crazy, ridiculous thing is there's no security surveillance cameras in Lululemon. Like, what the fuck?
Outrageous.
It is actually outrageous. The amount of stores that don't have cameras, I don't really understand. I suppose it's a very big expense when you've got that many stores worldwide, but they don't have cameras. They go to find the street cameras. Boom. They see their two suspects.
Mm-hmm.
Right around the time of the attack, they can see two guys, a very tall man and a shorter man wearing all black, walking away from the Lululemon store. So they need to track down these two guys because this is potentially the attackers and, well, the murderers. And they managed to find them.
They did.
And it turns out that these guys actually worked in the area. They are busboys that work in a restaurant and they have an airtight alibi. It just was such a coincidence that they looked like the attackers. So these poor guys would have been absolutely shitting themselves, I'm sure. But the cops, they clear them. This was not them. They can verify where they were. So they're going back to the scene, trying to find Jana's car because they're wondering maybe the attackers stole the car. She had parked it out front of the store, but which is not actually an area where you can park, and the car was not there. So they're looking for this car, and they actually have a report from a police officer that was patrolling the areas who saw this car. He particularly remembers this car that was parked on the side of the road with their headlights on, and he could see somebody in there, like a silhouette of a person in the driver's seat. He actually came back around and he saw the car again. I think it was quite a while after, maybe 30, 45 minutes, and the car still had the lights on, it still had the person. So this really jumped out at him. A little later, when he's come back around, maybe an hour and a half later, the car, there's nobody in the car. Police are looking, scoping out the area, and they find Jana's car. So they take this away for some forensic analysis. Maybe we can find some DNA from our attackers, from our murderers. At this point, it is so shocking to the neighborhood because it's a really affluent area. It's not rough. Something like this does not happen. I think the last murder in this area was 20 years ago. So super shocking. The police are investigating. They are talking to anybody in the area who may have seen something. Does anybody have any information? And this one particular person keeps popping up. So there is a guy, it's a homeless guy that's in this area who is known to be super aggressive, violent, and just makes you feel uneasy. He always frequents this one bar. On this particular night, he wasn't there, which was super unusual. They do some digging and they manage to track this guy down, and he is actually in the hospital. He has some injuries, so it clearly looks like he's been in a fight. So the cop's like, all right, buddy, give it up. He was not where he was normally on the Friday night, and now he is in hospital being treated for some pretty bad wounds.
He's a lot further away than where he would usually like to hang out. So that was another suspicious thing. Like, has he gone to another hospital because he doesn't want to look like he's guilty in this hospital?
That's actually a very good point. So he's moved out of the area not to cause any suspicion. When they go to chat with him, he actually knows who the attackers were.
Wow.
He has all kinds of stories and he can point out these guys. He knows who did it. He saw them. He said he was outside the store at the time and he knows exactly who it is. So the cops are like, excellent, let's hear it. Who is it? So he goes on to describe these two attackers. As he's talking to police, he is just all over the place, telling one story, and then he kind of just merges it into another story. He is now describing a group of teenagers that have gone in there and attacked the girls and come out on their skateboards, like a little skate gang. And prior to that, it was some Hispanic dude. So it's pretty quickly established that this guy actually has some sort of issues.
Yeah.
I think he's a substance abuse. I think there's a bit of schizophrenia or some sort of mental illness impairing his judgment, and he is actually again ruled out as a suspect. It turns out his injuries was from just a bit of a street brawl a couple of days before, and it's just a coincidence that it happened on the same night.
A lot of coincidences going on here.
Oh, cops are back at square one, and there's a lot of pressure to find out who did this because this is terrifying. Everybody in the area, especially women that are working in retail, everyone's on edge, as you can imagine. Such a violent attack. I mean, I wouldn't want to be going to work after that.
No. So the detectives, they're starting to panic. You've got Detective Dimitri Reuven and Jim Drury. They've actually put out a $150,000 reward to see for any information that could catch these brutal murderers. It's at this point they go back in to interview Brittany Norwood. So it's March 14th. So we're 3 days after the horrific event. And they've gone into the hospital and they've asked you some questions. And it's at this point the detectives are thinking, something just doesn't quite add up here. So they do a little digging into Brittany's background. And it's at this point they come across that Brittany has been described from people that she knows as a bit of a kleptomaniac. Do you know what a kleptomaniac is, Lolly?
It's when you steal.
Yeah, so just in case anyone hasn't realised, we've switched now. I've just taken over the story.
We're just passing it on to Rainey.
Earlier, I was describing Brittany. She went on to university. She was really well respected in the soccer community, and she actually was expelled from university because she was caught stealing from her teammates and her roommates and her friends.
So everyone.
Yeah, stealing money, she was stealing clothes, anything she could really get her hands on. And you're right, Lolly, kleptomaniac is an impulse control disorder which results in irresistible need to steal.
I mean, I just don't understand anything about it, and I'm sure it's a real condition. But like,
sounds like an excuse to me.
I mean, I'd like to have a bit of kleptomania. I just feel like, wouldn't it be great? Yeah.
I want it. I got it.
I want it. I got it. Just take whatever you want.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's a real thing. Yeah, she just had an insatiable thirst for theft.
She did.
She got off on it.
She's been expelled from school in 2007, got a restraining order from her boyfriend.
Ooh.
She actually broke into this ex-boyfriend's house and stole money and stole clothes.
Ooh.
He was a dentist, and she was actually sitting outside the dental clinic just waiting for him and his new girlfriend to come out. And they're thinking, whoa, 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 this girl has lost the plot. So that's when they did a restraining order. She was summoned to court. She kept making excuses. And eventually, after a year, that restraining order got dropped.
Oh.
So the detectives are thinking, okay, no criminal history here, but maybe a little bit of a sketchy past. Also, as Lolly mentioned earlier, she'd recently transferred from another store. So she was in a Lululemon store in Georgetown. They actually were trying to get her fired because she was caught stealing.
Ooh.
But there was a little bit of confusion around the story because at Christmas time, all of the employees got a $1,000 gift card and she spent
$2,000. $1,000? That's pretty good, isn't it?
I know, right? Can you believe?
I worked at a athleisure store.
This is Lolly speaking, is Lolly, by the way, guys.
And it's funny, it's right up there. It's definitely like there's Lululemon and then there's, I won't say who it is. I won't say who it is. Starts with an L. And I actually worked. I worked there and they didn't give you jack shit. We got 20% off, which is really stuffful when you have to be wearing $100 leggings to work.
Ugh.
Rude.
Yeah, so rude.
Do you want to know some juicy gossip about
Yeah, go on.
So when I was working there one time, we got you get all your new stock and every week your new styles, and they sent in this one top. We're reading all the emails for the new stock, and there's an email alert that's gone out, and they've said, you are to destroy this top. Didn't like how it looked, and she does not want that to be a representation of the brand. So they had sent pictures of how we were going to cut the top up and then throw it in the bin. I'm not even kidding you. This is everywhere, nationwide, probably worldwide. They had this picture of having to cut the tops directly down the middle, not across the tummy, because maybe someone would wear it as a crop top. So we have to cut all these tops up and then throw them in the bin and send photo evidence. Like, could you not just give us?
Oh, Jesus.
Isn't that absolutely disgusting? The amount of people that can't afford to go and buy new workout tops, just give them to the salvos. Rude.
Oh my God. Tell you what, my kleptomaniac would have come out then.
I thought it's now or never. This is my opportunity. I mean, you can't fire me for stealing a top that's going to be thrown in the trash.
Give it to the homeless. That is horrific.
Yeah, so after that, assholes. I was not a fan. No. I didn't stay there very long. Rude. And I don't actually buy their tights anymore.
Fair enough.
I buy Lululemons. And they've got their own controversy.
So back to Georgetown. She's overspent. There's been some confusion and they don't want some lawsuit on their hands. So they decide, well, we are going to transfer you over to Bethesda. The detectives are thinking, okay, well, she's got a past. Like I said, no criminal convictions. So as the detectives are digging a little deeper, they're thinking, has Brittany got a tie to the murderer? Is there some sort of connect here? Because something's just not adding up. She's describing these people as they're murderers, they're rapists, basically the worst, worst people on the planet.
They're robbers.
They're robbers. It is as bad as it gets. So either this is really, really outrageous or it's just not true. So they're digging a little deeper and they're thinking, right, looking at the evidence, Brittany's wounds are very superficial and Jaina's are horrifically bad. She has 331 wounds. 105 of those are actually defense wounds.
Fuck.
And when we say 331 wounds, that's not actually counting any wounds that are overlapping. So it could have potentially been more.
Oh, so, so awful. She has been so savagely beaten. She was almost unrecognizable because of her injuries were so, so brutal. The coroner actually thought it looked like she'd been hit by a car at high speed. It was that bad. She was that damaged.
Awful.
Absolutely horrendous.
They have actually found that there's at least five weapons that have been used, including a hammer, a knife, a box cutter, a wrench, a rope, and also a merchandising peg. So you know a merchandising peg, the ones that you stick into the wall and you hang coat hangers on? It's like long and metal. Yeah. And the other unusual thing, these weapons are actually found in store. These robbers, murderers, rapists haven't actually brought any of these weapons with them. They've found them all in the store. So this is incredibly concerning to the detectives. The detectives are then going and looking at her wounds. They're incredibly superficial. Like if you can imagine someone just like taking a box cutter and just lightly scraping it down your stomach. They're very light. She's got a very light wound on her forehead. Another thing that's inconsistent is the blood has trailed down her forehead, which is very inconsistent of her laying down. Mm. She said she was unconscious. The other thing that is just actually ridiculous, her hands are zip tied. She's laying on her back. Her feet are zip tied. Her hands are above her head. She could easily just put her hands down and untie her feet with a box cutter. Why she laid there all night with her hands above her head?
I mean, she could have just been absolutely petrified and was too scared to move, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
She could be. I mean, she could have been in complete shock. For the detectives, it's just not adding up. Brittany claimed that she was raped with a coat hanger, the coat hanger with corrugated edging that holds the actual clothing on in place. The rape kit didn't show that there was any signs of a rape. So the detectives are thinking, oh shit, we have to be 100% certain here, because if we go out to the public or say something and this is incorrect and we are blaming a victim, this could be a very bad impact on us. We could lose our jobs. It could just be very bad for the police station and everyone involved. So they are thinking, shit, all right, the car.
The car.
The very next day, after they've had their interview with Brittany to just get her story straight, the evidence comes back from the car and there's blood on the driver's seat, steering wheel and gear stick. There's also a hat that is found in the back seat. It's the Lululemon hat. And blood inside the hat matches the wound that was found on Brittany's forehead. And it is Brittany's blood.
Well, that doesn't sound good, does it?
It's not looking good. Also, in store, there's only two footprints. Two footprints where there should be four. Some of those footprints are actually matched to a shoe that is found inside the store, being a size 14. Now, originally they thought that the size 14 shoe print was one of the attackers. Blood found inside the shoe, which was consistent with the blood found on Brittany's socks.
Oh, God. I'm going to say it.
Say it, girl.
Dumb idiot. Dumb idiot. Actually, fucking dumb savage. Idiot. Savage.
Savage. The detectives are like, okay, this bitch is going down. Bitch going down. So they call Brittany and they say, look, can you please come back into the station? We need to take some fingerprints. Whose fingerprints are whose at the crime scene? So she comes on down and they're like, this is our chance. We need to catch her out on a lie. So they sit her down and they ask, Brittany, have you ever been in Jaina's car? Lolly, what do you think Brittany said?
It's Brittany, bitch. Sorry. Sorry, I couldn't help it. She obviously said no.
Yeah, so she said no. Look, I've never been in the car. I have seen it a couple of times, but I've never been in the car. So that was that, and they sent her on her merry way. Brittany's gone home, and she's gone, fuck. Yeah, holy shit.
She has.
Fuck.
Do you think we should get Mark to try and beep that out? Beep, 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 beep.
So she's like, oh God, what am I gonna do? March 18th, she calls the detectives. She goes, you wouldn't believe it. I was in the shower and I remember some stuff.
Ooh.
Oh, I've got to come in and I have to tell you because I just remember some information that you just need to know.
When something so horrific happens, maybe that is truth. Maybe bits of information just come flooding back.
Sometimes it does happen because you've been through such a horrific event, you do blank it out.
Mm. She goes in with her brother and sister, doesn't she?
Girl, who's telling the story here?
All right. Sorry, it's just bossy twin taking over. All right, carry on, Rainey. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Brittany goes down to the station and she is accompanied by her sister, Marissa, and her brother, Chris. So the detectives take Brittany into the interview room by herself and they ask her, what have you got? Mm. And she has said, you wouldn't believe it. I remembered some very important information and the attackers actually made me move Jana's car. They're like, oh.
Righto.
Really? Did you move it by yourself or was there someone with you? And she said, no, I moved it by myself, but they said I can only be 20 minutes and if you don't come back, we know where you live. So they're thinking, okay, hang on a minute. Pretty big information to leave out. And how do they know where you live? And she said, well, they actually found some utility bills in my handbag. Legit, guys. Like, really? Mm-hmm. So the detectives are thinking this girl is just full of shit. And they ask her to run over the story from start to finish again. She does this. And it is almost word for word identical to every time they've spoken to her. And so this is quite a red flag because usually your story isn't that well rehearsed when you're telling the truth. But her story is just word for word perfect.
Take note of that, guys. Get your story wrong a couple of times.
Get it wrong a few times. So she's gone and moved the car.
I mean, honestly, lady, if you're going to get in the car and drive it away, even if they said that they would come and find you, I'm not going back. Come find me.
No.
Would you not just walk out of the store and just run into the arms of any person that you see or get in the car and drive straight to the police station? What?
You would.
Just so ridiculous.
And then, so she's gone and moved the car and, I mean, this is just outrageous. She's sitting in the car and she tells the detectives she actually saw a police officer while she was sitting in that car. But because they had her address, she was so petrified, she could not ask for help.
Sounds legit.
They have gone and asked her, well, how have you then got back to the store? Because it's three blocks away. And she has just walked on back. She's walked back to the store. People have seen her, but she said, yeah, but they don't really care. She's just continued to go back to store. And at this point, she's back in the store. And this is when the rape has happened.
So what, she's walking covered in blood? Is that what she's saying?
Yeah, she's got blood. She's got blood on her. Mm-hmm. Because she's not wearing a hat anymore.
I mean, I will say, when I lived in Los Angeles, people don't really care too much. You don't really notice people around. There's no sense of community. But you're going to notice a young girl walking down the street covered in blood.
And especially in an area that's supposed to be quite a nice, well-to-do area. So she has told her story and the detectives are like, listen here, Brittany, we ain't buying your story. Mm-hmm. We know that you are not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. What really happened? Brittany's like, no, this is the truth. Your story is bullshit. Your wounds are self-inflicted. We know it was you.
Sing it, girl.
No one's going to believe you. Not our boss, not us, not your parents, not your brother, not your sister out that room. No one is going to believe you. It's at this point she has just asked to go home. I just want to go home.
I bet she does.
Mm-hmm. The police leave the room and they leave Brittany inside. It's at this point they've gone and spoken to Marissa.
Is that Brittany's sister?
Brittany's sister. They've told Marissa everything. Ooh. Marissa is like, what the fuck? Mm. Who is my sister turned into? She cannot believe it. She's burst into tears. She's crying. And the detectives are like, okay, we can't use her. We cannot use her. We're going to use the brother.
She's useless to us.
Goddamn emotional bitch.
Pull it together, Marissa. Pull it together. That would be me.
Pull it together. They have gone over to Chris. Chris is the brother. And he's like, listen here, detectives. I don't buy it. He's just not having a bar of it.
No.
The detectives are thinking, well, yeah, well, look, maybe it's not right, but to us it sounds pretty convincing. But they actually look over to Brittany and Brittany is crying. She's sobbing in the room and they're thinking, yes, this is our chance. So they send the brother into the room.
Get them while they're vulnerable.
Chris says, did you do this? Brittany said, I don't want to talk about it here. I'll talk about it at home.
Okay, righto.
Brittany's like, do you think they're recording us? Is there cameras? Do you think they're watching us? Chris says, no. Looked around.
Oh my God. I mean, I know I know it's 2011, but it's not for the frigging 1940s.
Yes, he's looked around. He is like, no, 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 I cannot see any recording devices. We are safe.
Dumb idiot.
She is saying, I didn't do it. Chris is like, well, I'm fairly certain you're not going home. I don't think you're leaving. And she said, I just don't want to disappoint you. Chris is like, no, 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 you're not a disappointment, but do we need an attorney? Evidence is pretty incriminating, Brittany. The detectives are watching all this, sitting there probably in some popcorn, drinking their tea. Chris says to Brittany, was it the shoplifting? Huh. Interesting. Mm. Interesting. Obviously, they know that the kleptomaniac sister has an issue.
Oh, shit, don't they ever.
Chris has then gone on and said, look, we can make it out that she attacked you.
Oh, no, he said this in there.
They're about to arrest Chris, but I'm telling you, it gets even worse.
Oh, fuck. I don't know any of this part of the story, by the way. We've gone back to the old way of doing this. Holy shit, tell me more.
Oh, shit. He's then gone on and said, look, we cannot use the insanity clause. You've said too much. There's been too many interviews. We're going to say that she attacked you. And there's one more helpful tip I'm going to give you, sis.
Oh, shit.
Every time you lie, you look to the left. So every time you lie, you've got to look to the right.
Oh, my God. No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
He did. And these detectives, they are sitting there. They are watching this shit and they are literally pissing themselves because they think this guy, right, we're going to arrest Chris, which they don't. That's a joke. But they're like, this guy has incriminated his sister.
That is just so bad. It's a good tip.
It's a great tip, but maybe don't give that tip in front of some detectives that want to take you down, right?
Terrible.
Detectives have gone back in the room and they have arrested Brittany for the murder of Jana Murray. 7 days after the murder, they got her pretty quick. And also Jana's family, they wanted to send Brittany flowers in hospital because they felt so bad for her. And Brittany said, no, no, I don't want anything. So they really did care about Brittany to make sure, you know, they wanted her to be okay. And they've just found out this horrific news that Brittany has basically bludgeoned their daughter to death.
That poor family.
Leading up to the murder, Lululemon and the store she was now transferred into were having a lot of things going missing, and they all became quite suspicious. And it was not long before the murder that the managers got together and they had to come up with some sort of plan because they knew it was Brittany. They just needed to catch her in the act so they could fire her. The night of the murder, Jana wasn't actually scheduled to work. She actually swapped with another manager. They've gone to work. Everything was fine. 9 o'clock, they've closed the store. They've done all their cashing up for the till and closing everything down. There is a policy in store. This policy in store is you have to check each staff member's bag to make sure that there's no items that's been stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Jana has looked into Brittany's bag and there's actually a pair of leggings with the tags on. And she said to Brittany, do you have a receipt for this? Brittany said, well, no, I don't. I actually purchased them off so-and-so that was working earlier that day, but I don't have a receipt. Jane has thought, gotcha. I have caught her in the act. This bitch is going down. Bitch going down. Brittany's pleaded with her, no, no, I swear, like, it's just I purchased them. And she said, no, no, don't you worry. I'm just going to take this up with the manager tomorrow. She's taken the leggings off her and they have locked up and they've left the store.
Oh, she took the leggings off her.
Because she knows this girl is stealing. And she's thought, I have hit the jackpot. This bitch is going down. We're going to get her fired. They have locked up. They've left the store. Jana has actually called the woman that apparently sold these leggings. So she's rung and she said, look, I found some leggings in Brittany's bag. Did you sell them to her? And of course, no, she didn't. And I believe Jana said something like, caught the bitch. Like, I've got her. She was pretty stoked.
Mm.
She has spoken to the other woman that works in the store. She knows this girl's full of shit and she is on her merry way. She was actually going to go meet a friend for dinner. This girl has actually cancelled on her. So she's just going to go home. That's when she gets a phone call from Brittany to go back into the store. So she's gone back into the store and they're looking around for 10 minutes for Brittany's wallet and they cannot find the wallet. So Jane has actually gone and said, here, have my Metro card, use mine. Like, I've got to go. Can't be bothered.
She is a beautiful, beautiful person.
She is a beautiful, beautiful person. Jana has gone to leave and Brittany has come up behind her with a merchandising peg and that's when the first blow has happened.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So she's tried to get to the front of the store. That's why everything's knocked over. She's trying to get out of the front door. She's been dragged back. She's then run to the back room. This is when she's tried to get out the emergency exit. There's actually a key in the door.
Mm.
And as soon as that emergency exit opens, that's actually would have sounded an alarm, but there's handprints on the door. She's never actually managed to open it. The Apple store employees could hear a lot of screaming and crying. And then someone, like you said, saying, just talk to me, talk to me. Actually, the screaming and crying was coming from Brittany because she didn't want to get caught out. And then Jane is like, what's going on? Like, just talk to me. So she's obviously trying to reason with her. She knows that she's in danger and hasn't quite happened.
I hate this. I hate it.
Ah, it's just horrific. So Brittany's been arrested. She's now in jail. They've gone to Jane's family and asked, would you want us to offer her a plea deal? Because going to trial is going to bring up a lot of very, very vivid detail about what's happened. It's going to be traumatizing for you and your family. And it's just something that we don't think you want to sit through. But the family actually denied it. They wanted to go to trial and they wanted everything to play out how it should.
Yeah, they want justice.
They want justice. The defense attorneys were trying to get her on second degree murder. They were never denying that she murdered Jaina, but they were wanting second degree murder because then she would be eligible for parole. So they were claiming this wasn't premeditated. She simply lost it. She does not deserve this at all. This piece of shit, she's in jail waiting for 7 months, and a lot of her phone calls, well, all of her phone calls are actually being recorded. And you know that majority of her phone calls, she's complaining about her hair and her nails, how she just wants her hair done and she just wants to get her nails done.
Disgusting.
Disgusting, disgusting. So it's gone to trial. There's been a lot of evidence that's been presented. Now, this is really, really horrifying and horrific. So please turn down if you don't want to hear. But out of the 331 wounds that Jaina received, she was alive for all of them. And the final one that actually killed her was a stab wound to the back of the neck, which severed her spinal cord and went through to her brain. But she was alive for all of those 331 wounds.
I kind of lost the words for that.
Yeah. 105 defense wounds. She really, really tried to give it all she had. Judge Robert Greenberry, he went home and he basically did a thumping motion on his tabletop 331 times, and it took about 10 minutes to do that. So you can imagine she's using all these different weapons, like just how long the attack actually was. As the trial has been wrapped up and the jury has deliberated, it takes under 1 hour to come back and return a guilty verdict of first degree murder.
Good. That is the quickest turnaround time that I've ever heard. Wasn't it like 21 minutes?
It was
minutes
like 20 minutes. It was so incredibly fast. I mean, the evidence was just so overwhelming. The judge said to her, you're one hell of a liar and the entire community has been terrorized by you. Brittany asked for mercy at her sentencing.
Ugh.
And she said to Jaina's family, hoping that one day they could find it in their hearts to forgive her. I mean, it is the most unforgivable act.
The violence. Yeah, absolutely not.
The violence was horrific. So the judge has then gone on to sentence her for life in prison without the possibility of parole. And I tell you what, that bitch deserves the death penalty, in my opinion.
I'm just trying to think, like, what actually happened in there, because that attack is so brutal. All the weapons you described, like, she was just grabbing everything and anything because she obviously wanted to get Jaina back. When she was trying to get Jaina's number, someone had said, oh, let's just get Rachel to come over. She just lives across the road. And she said, oh, no, it needed to be Jaina. So she needed to have, it was, had to be her.
Sounds premeditated to me.
Did she want to clear the air with Jaina and try and fix it? Or did she plan to kill her? Like, what actually happened? I just feel like it got so out of control.
But to do that 331 times, she could have stopped at any moment after the first blow, been like, I'm going to be in trouble, but you're not going to get away with it. And do you know the other stupid thing, Lolly, is this girl was so fucking dumb. On the zip ties, there was teeth marks of when she's gone and pulled the zip ties tight. I mean, come on.
She sat in that car for about 90 minutes.
Just thinking.
Trying to come up with a story. I mean, it was a pair of leggings. Just,
I know.
Just take the fall, get your criminal conviction or get fired. But two lives ruined, two families have lost their daughters, the Murray family, so horrendously sad for them, and also Brittany's family. What a shock, because they were just normal, nice family. How did this happen?
You know, all of her siblings and parents, they had good jobs, good careers, and it just seems that Brittany really went down some wonky kleptomaniac path and turned into a murderer. She did try an appeal, which was obviously overturned, and they said, nah, back to that cell, bitch, where you belong.
Denied. She tried to appeal it because she wasn't read her Miranda rights.
Yes.
Because at the time, she was considered a victim, not a suspect. The Murray family went on to start the Jana Troxell Murray Foundation. It supports and promotes all of the things that Jana was passionate about. Yeah, she just loved life. She was so adventurous and studying and traveling. And apparently her boyfriend had been shopping for engagement rings as well, which is really sad.
Yeah.
I saw a post on the Jana Troxell Murray Foundation Facebook page. And I just want to wrap up with reading that. So this was posted on November 21, 2013. Friday, November 22, is Jana's birthday. She would have been 33. She is and always will be missed by her family and friends, including those that she did not yet have the chance to meet. Through her death, as in life, she inspired, motivated, and touched the lives of many people to be better, act kinder, and to set and accomplish uncomfortable goals. To celebrate her birthday this year, please post about a good deed that you have done for someone else or about stepping outside of your comfort zone to complete a goal. We love you, Jana. Happy birthday. Oh, that brings tears to my eyes. It's just so sad. I think there was her sister that posted that.
Oh, it's terrible. It's so, so terrible.
So I know we make jokes and stuff on here, but these are real people. So I'm on keto, guys. I'm fucking hungry. I'm liking my carbs today. I just read that. I'm like, that's someone on the other end of that post that's a family member, and it's just so devastating. It's just so fucked up. This poor girl was just going to work.
Of course.
As we all do. Yeah, it just got so out of hand.
Over a pair of leggings.
Over a pair of leggings. Stupid leggings. So, Rainey, let's say it together, twin unison. Can you handle the crime and scandal? That was good.
No, I said scandal.
Okay, ready?
Can you handle the crime and scandal?
Absolutely not. I can't handle the story. I hate everything about this. Working in retail, there's this. When you like lock up the store and then you leave the store and it's all dark, well, it's just creepy because you're just used to the bright lights and all the people, and then all of a sudden it's all quiet and it's all dark. And I just think about that moment. And even the moment for Brittany when she got to the car, because I'm sure, obviously she had a lot of problems, but she did that in a panic and in a crazy moment. And then could you imagine her just sitting in her car going, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
And then her having to go walk back into the store and get herself set up and just sit there and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine hearing Rachel, the manager, come in the next day and hearing the sirens going, here we go.
I know.
I hate it.
She's put that effort into that one, I tell you.
Oof, yeah.
Don't go steal fucking leggings, guys.
And if you do and you get caught, own it.
Exactly. You know what? Just be careful. Be careful. People are that crazy out there, I tell you.
This podcast is making me very anxious.
You just want to go eat some carbs.
I do. Honestly, guys, I want day four of the keto diet. I like to try new things like this, and I can actually report I've given up the oat juice.
Yes.
I've moved on to that full fat cream. We will bring you that big New Zealand episode one day, but in the meantime, keep tuning in to our episodes. Feel free to give us a rating or review. It really helps us get up in the ranks, and we will see you back again soon.
All righties.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.